Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 in your Bible. If you will, stand together with me and we'll honor God's word as we read it. Let you stretch just a moment and First Corinthians chapter number 1, if you're there, say amen. My, wasn't revival wonderful? I tell you, God met with us each and every night, and it was just a joy to be here. If you missed it, all I can say is you missed it. It was just, I know some of you were sick and had to watch via internet, but we rejoiced in all that God did. The souls that were saved. One, Miss Paisley, right there, got her Bible open this morning. She got saved last Sunday and told us about it Tuesday night. And then Elijah got saved Tuesday night. And so Brother Stephen and Miss Jamie had two children saved this past week, and I can't imagine the joy. Laurel, my youngest daughter, got saved Tuesday night, and so I know how I have rejoiced, and my family have rejoiced in one of our children getting born again. But to have two saved in one week, I don't know how you contain that. But then Brother Josh and Miss Leslie, they had their son Chase. He got saved Tuesday night, and so I tell you, God's just been so good to us. But if you have found your place, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, say amen. It's good to have all of our visitors with us. Thank you so much for being here, you honored guest, and if we can help you in any way, you let us know, and we'll be glad to pray for you. Before I begin reading, let me ask you to pray, if you would. I know probably most of you, if not all of you, have heard Brother Dale Melton's mother, Miss Linda, passed away, and she used to be a member here, and or still may be was a member here till she passed. But if you'd pray for the Melton family, I know they'd appreciate it. And then yesterday, Mandy's daddy, Mandy Rochester's daddy, his wife passed away, and so if you'd remember them and their family, I know they would appreciate it. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 17. The Bible said, "For Christ sent me not to be not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. As I mentioned, we began preaching on the subject, the message of the cross. And there is no greater message than the message of the cross. Sometimes in this day and hour we live in, our phone will buzz or vibrate or ding, and we'll look down and we'll have a text message or a Facebook message or something along those lines. And sometimes it's a good message, sometimes not so good. This past week, the President of the United States delivered a message to the country. And I'll let you be the judge of if that was a good message or not, or if you could even understand what he said, just a bunch of screaming and stuff. But there's all kind of messages that are communicated in our world, but never in the history of humanity has there been a message like the message that I'm preaching on this morning, and that is the message of the cross. And so the Bible said again, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And you can't have the gospel without having the cross, because part of the gospel is, the gospel is simply this, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. That is the gospel. And there would be no death if there had not been a cross. And so as we look at the text and look at the message this morning, the message of the cross, I'm not going to re-preach what we did last week, but I do just want to remind us and hit the highlights. We said, number one, the preaching of the cross. And Paul dealt with it in the text. He said the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. And we talked about how the message and the preaching of the cross was a strange message. They didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend. And so it was a strange message, as it is today in this day and hour we live in. When lost people hear that they can go to heaven because of a man who died on a cross 2,000 years ago, that seems strange to them. And then we talked about, not only was it a strange message, but it was a shocking message. And that's where we went in and looked closer and looked more deeply at what happened on the cross, and how shocking it was to see and to remember and reminisce how Jesus' body was beaten beyond recognition, how that his beard was ripped out and he was spat upon, and the crown of thorns placed on his head, and the nails driven into his hands and his feet, and he was beaten. Just absolutely beaten beyond anything we could imagine. And so it was a shocking message. And then we talked about, not only was it a shocking message and a strange message, but the message of a cross was a simple message. And thank God it still is. Ain't you glad you don't have to have some high degree? You don't have to have a doctorate degree to be able to understand the message of the cross. No, God made it so simple that a child can understand. My little daughter and Miss Paisley and some of these others past week, Tuesday night, they were for Paisley Sunday night, and then the others Tuesday night. Young children, this message was so simple that these children could by faith grasp and understand and comprehend the message of the cross, and therein and thereby they got born again. Thank God for that. Thank God that He made it so simple that anybody could get saved. Ain't you glad God didn't put salvation so high up and the message so high up that we couldn't reach it? No, that's what religion does. Religion sets the bar so high, and they say you got to do this, and you got to live this way, and you got to quit doing this and start doing this and memorize this many verses and pray this many times a day. And it puts the bar so high that message does not resonate, because we cannot attain unto it. It's too high. It's too hard. But Jesus and the message of the cross, He put it down on the bottom shelf. Billy Graham said that God put salvation all the way down on the bottom shelf, where anybody could get to it. That's the simple message of the cross. And so we look, number one, at the preaching of the cross. And then we just touched on this in closing. But number two, we talked about the purpose of the cross. Not only the preaching of the cross, but the purpose of the cross. What was the purpose of the cross? The cross was God making a statement to humanity. God was sending a message to the world. What was that message? That message was that He loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the cross made, and the purpose of the cross was to make a statement. And my, didn't God make that statement loud and clear? Not only was the purpose of the cross to make a statement, but also the purpose of the cross was to provide salvation. You say, we already said that. Well, it's worth saying again, thank God. There is no salvation. There is no getting to heaven. There is no forgiveness of sin apart from the cross of Calvary. Had it not been for the cross, we would all be doomed and damned and headed for hell this morning. Had it not been for the cross, listen, none of us would have any hope. We would be, of most men, miserable this morning, having no hope of heaven. But thank God, the cross and the purpose of the cross was to provide salvation to any and all who would believe. Doesn't matter what race, doesn't matter what creed or color, doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter how bad or how good you've been. The message of the cross and the purpose of the cross was to provide salvation, to take wicked and unholy men and bridge the gap and make it possible that we could be joined to a holy God in heaven and live there with Him forever. So what's the purpose of the cross? To make a statement that God loved the world, to provide salvation. Then the purpose of the cross was to defeat Satan. Every child of God in here this morning, and to be honest, every sinner in here this morning, ought to rejoice over the fact that God put a cross on a hill called Golgotha, that God, in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite knowledge, that God made a mountain. And I've been there. We've been to Jerusalem. And me and my wife and Mama and Preacher Kerrigan and several others, my Mama and Tommy, that we stood at the bottom of what's called Golgotha, the place of the skull, and hewn out in that big stone mountain where Jesus was crucified. It is the place of the skull. I've got pictures of it. I've got pictures standing in front of it, and it looks like somebody got up there and chiseled out, I mean perfectly, a skull. But no man chiseled that stone. God Himself created that place, the place of the skull, known as Golgotha, known as Mount Calvary. And there is where Jesus bled and died. And there is where Jesus purchased our redemption. And in so doing, He defeated Satan. He defeated the devil. That's worth shouting about this morning. That's worth rejoicing about this morning. What's the purpose of the cross? I'll tell you loud and clear, without reservation, without hesitation, the purpose of the cross was that Satan, that old foe, would be defeated once and for all. Amen. Now listen to me. Don't get confused this morning. The devil has a lot of power, and we're no match for him. The Bible said, greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. The devil has a lot of power. I mean, he's got all kind of power. I don't have time, but I could go into detail and show you how the book of Isaiah and other verses in the Word of God, how that the devil, Lucifer, Satan, was the most powerful being, the most powerful angel ever created. He was one of the archangels. He was one of the most powerful angels, and among the archangels, Michael the archangel and Gabriel, those angels, Satan, Lucifer, was the most powerful of all. You say, why would you mention that? Because listen to me. As much power as the devil has, as strong as the devil is, as cunning and crafty as the devil is, as sly and slick as the devil is, Thank God Jesus won the victory, defeating the devil, showing the devil that he had lost all power. He went there. The purpose of the cross was for Jesus to go there and to take away all the power that the devil had, defeating him. I mean, defeating him, undefeated. We serve an all-time undisputed champion of God because he beat the devil. And he did that for me and for you, and that was the purpose of the cross. Because you say, well, what's the big deal about the devil getting beaten? What's the big deal about the devil losing? I'll tell you the deal. Because the devil's headed for hell and the lake of fire, and he knows it. The devil, just as sure as I'm standing here, he will be wrapped in chains and bound for 1,000 years, and then he'll be loose for a season, and then the end comes. And then we and God, we behind the Lord Jesus, will eyewitness the Lord called the devil and bring him out of those chains and bring him up out of the world, and he will judge him. And the Bible says that he will cast him into the lake of fire forever. You say, yeah, but what's that got to do with me? Because I'll tell you what it has to do with me and you. The devil knows that his days are numbered. The devil knows he's a defeated foe. And the purpose of the cross was this. God knew the devil was going to do everything in his power and use all of his power and all of his ingenuity and all of his craftiness. And he was going to drag every single soul he could to hell with him. He knows that he's going there. And so since he can't do nothing about that, he wants to take you and you and your children and my children. That's why I rejoiced this week, Brother Ned. That's why I was so excited. Miss Jamie, that's why you so excited. Because the devil had a plan. The devil had an idea. And he was going to drag our children to hell. But victory was won on Calvary when he dealt the devil a death blow by not allowing me or my children and you and your children to be drugged to hell. So that's the purpose of the cross. And in the few closing minutes that we have, not only did we talk about the preaching of the cross and the purpose of the cross, but I close with this, the power of the cross. You don't talk about power. There's power in the cross. When the power of the cross is appropriated, three great and wonderful things take place. Notice with me. Number one, sin dies. When a person places his or her faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is forever changed. The Bible said that the chains of sin are broken. Listen to Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Listen. We are no longer in bondage. The chains that once had us bound were broken at the cross of Calvary. Calvary made it possible that we could be set free from the sin that had us bound. Sin died. And we're made new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. Say, what's the big deal about sin dying? Hey, look up here at me for a minute. I'm going to get you out of here early, and you can go get to eat your lunch, so wake up and pay attention. Don't make me act like a school teacher and I'm going to bring a ruler and start popping some of y'all in the hand. Y'all remember them days? I ain't going to do that, but what's the big deal about sin being defeated? Can I tell you? Can I elaborate just for a moment? Had sin not been defeated, had sin not died, we couldn't have entered heaven. The Bible said neither fornicators, adulterers, drunkards, liars. They will not inherit the kingdom of God, because nothing will be in heaven that defiles it. And if sin hadn't have died, we couldn't have went. But because Jesus defeated sin, we can go to heaven. Listen, that verse, by the way, something even better or as good. The Bible said old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. I don't know about you, but Cricket, I don't want to ever have to stand before the world. I don't want to have to stand in front of one person and let my life be played out in the most wicked, I mean wicked and vile thoughts and deeds that I've ever done, the places I've been, the things I've said and done. I don't want my life, the worst of the worst, to ever be seen by anybody. And neither do you. I mean, don't look at me like you're some spiritual saint, God bless your heart. You made out of the same filth that I am. None of us want that. But the power of the cross made it possible. And what? Listen, when Jesus died on the cross and cried, "It is finished," you know what that was signifying and saying? Your sin died. Never again will you have to face your sin. Never again will your sin be brought up. Never again will you have to worry and wonder and have sleepless nights of having to face those sins or anybody else, because the Bible said He cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. He could throw them behind His back, never to be remembered again. I'm simply saying the power of the cross hadn't, listen, what the blood of goats and bullocks could not do, it only atoned our sin. It only covered our sin. But hear me, if that just covered the sin, if all atonement could do was cover sin, the devil, listen to me, the devil, he could come by with his shovel or his pitchfork and uncover that, and he could bring that, and he could put that back. But Jesus didn't just come to do what the law did. Jesus didn't just come to atone sin and cover sin. Jesus came to do away and deal the death blow and abolish your sin. And the devil can't find them. God ain't looking for them because they're gone. Now the newborn believer does not have to live in bondage to sin. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The blood has the power to change every life it's touched by. There really is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Not only, listen, what I'm talking about, the power of the cross. Not only does sin die, but hell is defeated. What's the power of the cross? Why am I so excited this morning? Why am I screaming and spitting and sweating this morning over the power of the cross? Because not only was my sin done away with, not only did my sin die, but hell was defeated because of the power of the cross. No blood-washed, blood-bought individual will ever experience the flames of hell. Now that might not excite you, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I wasn't looking forward to going to hell. I mean, even as a child, it bothered me. Before I got saved, I'd lay in my bed and worry and bite my fingernails to the quick and wouldn't be able to sleep. I did not want to go to hell. I was scared to death of going to hell. And we got a ton of people, I mean millions of people, who don't believe. There's a ton of people say they don't believe in God. They call themselves atheists. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But listen, even more staggering, they've done statistics, and not just atheists, but there's a whole lot of people who say, at least I do believe in God, but I don't believe in the devil. You'd be amazed at how many people don't believe in the devil or in hell. And I'm here to tell you, if there's a God in heaven, there is a devil. If there is a heaven, there is a hell. And thank God the power of the cross defeated hell. One of the most precious verses in our King James Bible pertaining to this subject is found in John chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Listen, I think it's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Listen, if you've been saved, if you've come by the way of the cross, the power of the cross lifted and removed the condemnation of God that was leading you to hell. The Bible said, God hath not appointed us unto wrath. And because of the cross and the power of it, if you've been saved, you'll never have to experience the judgment of God and the wrath of God poured out without mercy. Thank God no child of God will ever have to go to hell, and Satan will not get his wish, as I was mentioning earlier. So the power of the cross, number one, sin dies. Number two, hell is defeated. And finally, because of the power of the cross, heaven is delivered. There would be no heaven in our future. I wouldn't have a mansion awaiting me. I wouldn't have the hope of seeing my loved ones who are already there. I wouldn't have the hope of spending forever in a place called heaven had it not been for the power of the cross. The blood is the key that unlocks the gates of glory. When the blood is applied, the child of God becomes instantly destined for an eternity in heaven with the Lord. That is His promise to every believer. Listen to what John 14:1 said. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The power of the cross made heaven a reality. And there's only one way to get to that glorious place. And the Bible tells us how. John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 7 says, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." In conclusion, I read this and thought it would be a good way to close this message. Methodist preacher, a well-known Methodist preacher, by the name of John Wesley. Most of you have probably heard of him. And one night, John Wesley was returning home from a service, and he was robbed at gunpoint. The thief, however, found his victim to have only a little money and some Christian literature. As the bandit was leaving, Wesley called out and said, "Stop! I have something more to give you." And to the surprise of the robber, the robber paused and turned around and come back. And he said, John Wesley said, "My friend, you may live to regret this sort of life. And if you ever do, here's something to remember. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." The thief turned away, and Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Listen, years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. What a surprise to learn that that visitor, now a believer in Christ, as a successful businessman, was the one who put the gun into his side and robbed him years before. And he said to Wesley, "I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you." Wesley responded, "Oh no, my friend, not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us all from sin." The message of the cross is the only hope sinners have. And thank God this morning, I have come by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. If you've never been saved, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, let's stand to our feet.